VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today. We are actually going to be having a news roundup day today. And I also want to invite you to be listening tomorrow to the broadcast as we air a special address that was given by Dr. Jimmy DeYoung entitled A Panoramic Prophetic Perspective. He spoke this just recently at a VCY America rally, and we are editing the audio down. As a matter of fact, our operations manager, Dalton Windsor, has been putting this together for tomorrow's edition of Crosstalk. We trust you'll be able to listen in the program, though he spoke close to an hour and a half, but Dalton is editing this down to fit into the Crosstalk time. And if you do request a copy of it, you will receive the entire address that he provided for us at this recent VCY rally. So tune in on Friday's edition of Crosstalk for Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, A Panoramic Prophetic Perspective. So today on the News Roundup, we're going to have a number of stories here today, again, as a means to keep us abreast of what's taking place across this nation, also to understand the very necessity of our being salt and light in the land in which we live. As the prophet Hosea said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Certainly, we want to stay abreast of what's going on. We don't do it in wringing our hands, but we do it with trust in the Lord, knowing that He is sovereign and in control, and certainly to be abreast of the many issues that are taking place here across the nation. Very interesting. You don't hear about a lot of this on secular media, but a bombshell allegation is that Hillary created the entire Trump-Russian hoax to distract from the email scandal. This is from WesternJournal.com. U.S. intelligence officials referred Hillary Clinton to the FBI for investigation in September 2016 over an alleged plan to link President Trump to Russia's election interference efforts, according to the Director of National Intelligence, John Ratcliffe. Ratcliffe revealed that the investigation referred to in a letter to the Senate Judiciary Committee Chair Lindsey Graham on Tuesday. According to Ratcliffe, former CIA Director John Brennan briefed President Barack Obama in late July 2016 about Clinton's approval of a plan to link Trump to Russians' election meddling efforts. Ratcliffe wrote in the letter that on September 7, 2016, U.S. intelligence officials forwarded a referral for an investigation into Clinton to then-FBI Director James Comey and Peter Stroik, the Deputy Chief of Counterintelligence. Ratcliffe said that the referral dealt with Clinton's approval of a plan concerning the U.S. president candidate Donald Trump at the time and also Russian hackers hampering the U.S. elections as a means of distracting the public. And that's from her use of a private mail server. Further information on that story is that also coming to us from WND.com, the documents that Graham said show that there may have been a double standard by the FBI regarding allegations against the Clinton's campaign and Russia. Whether these allegations are accurate is not the question. He said the question is, did the FBI investigate the allegations against Clinton like they did Trump? If not, why not? If so, what was the scope of the investigation? If none, why was that? WND.com also reporting that the ACLJ, American Center for Law and Justice, asking the Justice Department to provide information regarding the wiping of data from more than two dozen government phones used by Robert Mueller's special counsel team before they were handed over to the Inspector General. Now the ACLJ has filed an urgent Freedom of Information Act request seeking the documents that the attorneys signed when they had received the phones. We will find out whether this was intentional obstruction and destruction of evidence, if there was evidence of some other crime, or if the Mueller team was truly this inept at handling cell phones, said Jordan Seculo. If it was intentional, the entire team should be held accountable all the way up the chain to Robert Mueller himself, said Seculo. Interesting story on Black Lives Matter. This coming to us from Pamela Geller. Sir Major Page, age 32, arrested last Friday in Toledo, Oregon, facing federal wire fraud and money laundering charges for allegedly spending the money on tailored suits, a home in Ohio, and guns. Yes, this is a Black Lives Matter leader arrested for allegedly spending over $200,000 in donations on personal expenses. Page became involved with the Black Lives Matter movement in 2016 when he founded the Black Lives Matter of Greater Atlanta on Facebook, she reports. He used the page to solicit donations through a GoFundMe account, the FBI said. Between April of 2018 and May of 2020, the group's balance never exceeded $5,000, but donations started pouring in after George Floyd's death. Then Black Lives Matter of Greater Atlanta raised over $470,000 between June and August following the death of George Floyd on Memorial Day. Investigators said Page responded to private messages online, assuring donors that their money would be used to fight for George Floyd and that all funds were for movement-related expenses, the FBI said. However, between June and August, Page is accused of using a debit card linked to the account to buy food, entertainment, tailored suits, and a new security system. Page is also accused of spending $112,000 on a home and adjacent lot in Toledo, Ohio, transferring donations into his personal account to buy a pistol and two rifles earlier in the month. In all, the 32-year-old is accused of spending more than $200,000 in donations with no identifiable purchase or expenditure for social or racial justice, the FBI said. Page arrested in Toledo, charged with one count of wire fraud, two counts of money laundering. We've told you before about the campaign here against Amy Coney Barrett. It's being reported now on LifeNews.com that pro-abortion groups spending millions of dollars to try and stop her from being confirmed to the U.S. Senate. The Hill reports some groups are spending twice the amount that they did just years ago when President Trump nominated Justice Kavanaugh. These include Demand Justice, a progressive pro-abortion group, which plans to spend some $10 million on ads against Barrett. Its ads are scheduled to air in Arizona, Colorado, Iowa, and North Carolina. Planned Parenthood also fighting to stop Barrett from being confirmed, but they wouldn't say how much money they're going to spend. They have pledged at least $45 million on the 2020 election. Meanwhile, we understand also pro-life and conservative groups spending millions of dollars in support of Barrett, according to The Hill, like the Susan B. Anthony List, the Judiciary Crisis Network, and Americans for Prosperity. Pro-life leaders have praised her as an excellent choice for the court. A story from WND.com says amid threats by Nancy Pelosi to impeach President Trump for his Supreme Court nomination, the conservative House Freedom Caucus has forced a meeting of the House's entire Republican conference to discuss a motion to vacate the chair, forcing Nancy Pelosi to step down as House Speaker. In a statement on Twitter, the Freedom Caucus said Pelosi's latest impeachment threat is proof that she would rather use her post as Speaker to weaponize the chamber than as a means of accomplishing anything of substance for the country. She must be removed from the speakership immediately, they said. The momentum has increased, he explained, because of the motion that she would even allow the suggestion of impeachment of the president for engaging in his constitutional prerogative, not just prerogative, but his obligation. Interesting indeed. We'll see where that one goes. Here's a story from LifeNews.com. After declaring abortion a religious ritual earlier this year, the Satanic Temple is suing an advertising company for refusing to place its pro-abortion billboards in Arkansas and Indiana. On Monday, the Satanic Group announced its lawsuit against Lamar Billboard Company, accusing it of a religious discrimination and breach of contract. The Satanic Temple said it wants to put up 8 billboards that advertise its abortion ritual near pro-life pregnancy centers in Indiana and Arkansas. For instance, one billboard declares abortion saves lives, as well as, quote, our religious abortion ritual averts many state restrictions. Billboards also include the pro-abortion group's website and an image of Satan inside a black star. According to the Satanic Group, the company rejected its ad designs for being misleading and offensive. Its contract with Lamar states that the company may reject a billboard that is not in good taste and in line with the moral standards of the individual communities in which it's to be displayed. However, the Satanic Temple claimed that the company discriminated against it because of its religious beliefs. In August, the Satanic Temple admitted proudly that it's in its belief system, killing an unborn baby in an abortion is a religious ritual similar to communion or baptism for Christians. Nancy Pelosi is reportedly putting focus on changing the current markup of the House of Representatives in November's elections, given the possibility, however slight, that the body would have to decide who is the next president. The political side, 270 to win, reported there are 64 scenarios in which the Electoral College could end up in a 269-269 tie. The 12th Amendment to the Constitution provides that if the Electoral College vote for president is evenly split, the House would choose the winner. You're listening to a news roundup here on Crosstalk today. Townhall.com reporting a group of Australian law professors has given President Trump his third Nobel Peace Prize nomination for his commitment to ending foreign wars. And a quote from David Flint, the law professor, says the Trump doctrine is something extraordinary, as so many other things that Donald Trump does. He is guided by two things which seem to be absent from so many politicians. He is firstly common sense, and he is only guided by a national interest and therefore in our circumstances, an interest in the Western alliance. What he has done with the Trump doctrine is that he has decided that he would no longer have American involved in endless wars, wars which achieve nothing but the killing of thousands of young Americans and enormous debts imposed on America. As we've previously reported, there have been two other nominations for Nobel Peace Prize that have already come. Americans for Limited Government put forth a press release saying, in spite of COVID-19, the Trump administration is on track to hit its goal of building 450 miles of border wall by the end of this year. Currently, crews have built 341 miles and are averaging more than a mile a day of new wall. To date, they've used over 509,000 tons of steel. Rick Manning, who is the president of Americans for Limited Government, said that protecting America from illegal immigration, the free flow of drugs across the border, and the national security threats of the open border has been a priority which President Trump has fought tooth and nail to achieve. The president knows that you cannot have a secure America without a secure border and has expended massive amounts of political capital, expended, that is, political capital to keep his promise. Project Veritas has exposed ballot harvesting in scheme with alleged ties to Ilhan Omar, Bronson Stocking reports from townhall.com. FBI Director Christopher Wray may be unaware of the voter fraud going on in the country, but Project Veritas keeps exposing it. A new investigative report put out by Project Veritas on Sunday exposing what appears to be a ballot harvesting scheme in Minnesota perpetrated by a group with alleged ties to Representative Ilhan Omar. The video includes footage of a ballot harvester, Liban Mohammed, speaking in both English and Somali as he drives around collecting ballots from senior citizens. According to Omar Jamal, chair of the Somali Watchdog Group, people like Mohammed are paid to collect absentee ballots from senior citizens and the immigrant community. One source in the report linked Ilhan Omar's campaign manager to the harvesting scheme. "It's an open secret," Jamal said. She, referring to Omar, will do anything she can to get elected, and she has hundreds of people in the streets doing that. "They came to us. They came to our homes. They said, this year we will vote for Ilhan," the harvester said, and said, "We will make the absentee ballots. We'll fill out the forms for you, and when you get them back, we will again fill it out and send it. There was no need to go to the voting site because the Omar operative said you stay home and you will not go to the place after the ballots are signed and documented." The harvester said he got paid. More on that story after the break. You're listening to Crosstalk.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, what kind of life lives in the deep ocean?
Chris, we're just now beginning to explore the deep ocean. Recently, a very exotic form of life was discovered around seafloor vents, where superheated water bubbles out from the interior of the Earth into the cold oceans. There's no light down there, but submarines have discovered much life around these vents. Evolutionists are quick to point out that this must be the kind of life that was the original life billions of years ago. But not so fast. Recent research projects have shown that these pods of life around the seafloor vents are not old in any sense. They may be only a few thousand years old, not billions as required by evolution. and they certainly didn't spring to life from non-living chemicals. If it's living, God created it, and He did so back in Genesis.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Call us at 800-628-7640 and mention the promo code FACT.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. It's a News Roundup day here today. Again, Lord willing, tomorrow we'll be having this address by Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, who incidentally, well, he's on the precipice of his 80th birthday, giving a panoramic prophetic perspective. Let's go back to LifeSiteNews.com because as this story from Ilhan regarding Ilhan Omar's allegations regarding the whole aspect of harvesting ballots continues to unfold. Project Veritas on video, it contains Snapchat clips of activists Liban Mohammed bragging about displaying some of the hundreds of absentee ballots in his car, which are for his brother, Minneapolis City Councilman Jamal Osman. Money is everywhere. Money is the king of the world, Mohammed says. Look at these. My car is full. All of these are for Jamal Osman. We got 300 today for Jamal Osman only. Our investigation found out that among three locations inside Ward 6, a ballot harvesting triangle where the scheme operates, the Riverside Plaza Apartments, the senior citizen community at Horn Towers, and the Minneapolis Elections and Voter Services Office also function as voting locations and ballot drop-off sites, Project Veritas reported. And also as picked up further by the New York Post, that indicates also implicating Omar's campaign in the scheme is an anonymous Minneapolis-based former political worker. They've perfected the system, she said. They will tell you we're applying for your ballot. They take a picture of your Social Security and your driver's license. They have a database. When the ballot comes, they track it. Sometimes may make fake emails. They track the ballot. Then they come and pick up the ballot unopened. She also alleged that young people and women were paid for their ballots before last month's Minnesota primary. Cash flowing out in great extent. We understand also that President Donald Trump has responded to this investigation from Project Veritas, writing out on Twitter saying, quote, this is totally illegal. Hope that the U.S. attorney in Minnesota has this and other of her many misdeeds under serious review. If not, why not? Okay, from the Daily Signal, multiple voters who live in Brooklyn have reported errors, including a wrong name on their ballot envelope, which would invalidate their ballots. The error was due to an outside vendor error, said the New York City Board of Elections in a tweet instructing residents on what steps to take if they encounter the error. Interesting, there was a tweet from a CNN reporter, Nathan McDermott, who said, I just got my New York mail-in ballot. And the security envelope I'm supposed to put in it and sign it has some other guy's name and address on it. LifeSite News also has a story of mail-in ballot fiasco as nearly 100,000 New York voters received the wrong return envelope. Since the error has been discovered, the ballots will be mailed to all affected voters again. Now, what's going to happen with the old ballots? What will happen with them? Not an isolated incident. Last Friday, the Washington Post reported that around 1,400 voters, perhaps more in several Virginia counties, had received duplicate absentee ballots in recent weeks. A local CBS affiliate in Northern Michigan reported on Sunday that 6,000 absentee ballots that were sent out will not be able to be tabulated because of an error. Let's get back to Minnesota. Daily Wire reporting Minneapolis, Minnesota's plan to defund and then disband their local police force. It's collapsed, according to New York Times report from over the weekend. Some of the Minneapolis City Council members who pledged to abolish the city's law enforcement, including the city council president, now say they regret making that promise. Back in June, it was clear that the Minneapolis Police Department was on borrowed time. The city council president, Lisa Bender, a self-described progressive, told residents she had a vision of a transformative new model of public safety. Well, she's now among those who say abolishing the police is not the right approach. Crime has been on the increase. An unprecedented spike in violent crime, according to the Minneapolis Star Tribune. By the way, also in Minnesota, using the death of the late Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg as a campaigning tool, one Democratic lawmaker is bragging that she's the only senator to have worked at Planned Parenthood. My, is that what you want on your resume? I worked for a center that killed babies. This is Senator Tina Smith, who's worked as an executive at Planned Parenthood of Minnesota in North and South Dakota, brought up her former employer in a tweet earlier this week, arguing that her history as a Planned Parenthood staffer means that she has seen firsthand how far Republican attacks on reproductive rights will go. Let's see. Western Journal reporting a Democratic state lawmaker arrested last Thursday in Louisville, Kentucky. Alleged felony rioting a day after a grand jury declined to recommend murder charges for police officers in the shooting death of Breonna Taylor. Kentucky State Representative Attica Scott and her daughter Ashante were among two dozen people arrested on rioting charges. LifeSiteNews.com. Wow, this is a very interesting story. A science fiction plot could soon become a reality in our society and workforce. A majority of humans implanted with microchips to enhance performance capabilities. According to a recent Citrix survey, two-thirds of employees in the United States and Europe are worried that by 2035, humans with chips implanted in their bodies will have an unfair advantage in the labor market. In Sweden and the United States, people have already started to insert microchips into their bodies. Supporters say that having this technology implanted in the body creates a faster work environment, boosts worker performance, and adds convenience. The Citrix survey found that 57% of the workers would implant the chips in their bodies if the microchips were safe and boosted performance. CNN reported that back in 2018, thousands of people in Sweden inserted microchips in their hands that could one day replace keys and cards. Elon Musk, the business magnate and CEO of SpaceX, recently showed off a working brain implant in pigs made by Neuralink, which is among another company founded by Musk. And that it would develop brain-computer interfaces, also detailed by CNN, a San Francisco-based startup called Synchron, partially funded by the United States Defense Department, has begun testing an implant wireless device that can stimulate the nervous system from the inside of a blood vessel. Though these ideas may sound convenient for today's fast-paced materialistic society, several ethical problems arise. As the Citrix survey illustrates, there's a divide between what the employer or business leader wants to achieve through this AI technology and the worries and doubts of the workers. In reality, although 77% of business leaders believe that under-the-skin chips and sensors will boost worker performance and productivity by 2035, nearly half the workers surveyed, 43%, have a negative view of the microchips. Wow. Science fiction coming to reality? Also, when we combine that with this story that came out just yesterday from CBN News, Amazon has created a new way for customers to make purchases with just their palms. The new hand recognition technology called Amazon One is currently available in two of its Amazon Go stores located in Seattle, Washington. By holding their palm above the device, patrons can enter secure areas and pay for items without cash, without credit card. The amount of personal information that the company will receive from the scans is also an important concern with the latest development in cashless payments. Like fingerprints, every palm is unique, and Amazon contends the data will be secured, stored in a special cloud created by Amazon, and that customers can wipe out their Amazon One-related hand data at any time. Yeah, right. Okay, that material just simply goes away? That's my question. The company expects to roll out the system in other Amazon stores in the months ahead, including Whole Foods grocery stores, which it owns. The world's largest online retailer believes that the palm technology could be used for many other types of purchases and transactions, like retail stores, stadiums, and office buildings, touting the fact that its process is touchless, which makes it perfect for avoiding diseases like COVID. CBN News previously reported that Amazon was working on a way to link credit card information to your palm print. Now it's a reality. ChristianNews.net. Troubling story here as well. We talk about losing this next generation. The 10th installation of the nationwide American Worldview Survey conducted by George Barna and the Cultural Research Center at Arizona Christian University found that millennials do not have a biblical worldview. They are less likely to believe in absolute truth, to view the sanctity of human life, or trust the Bible as the inerrant word of God. While 61% of millennials surveyed identified as Christian, they held beliefs differed from other generations in that only 18% believe that the purpose of life is to know, love, and serve God. 28% accept the Bible as the inerrant word of God, and 31% agree that God is the basis of all truth. Truly troubling indeed, rather disturbing. CNSNews.com, Humanists for Biden is a newly formed organization, an offshoot of Secular Democrats of America. The pro-Biden group is headed by Greg Epstein, a humanist chaplain, and to put that in quotes, who splits his time between Harvard and MIT. Humanists for Biden seek to attract all those who believe in nothing, agnostics, atheists, and the religiously confused. They're a growing part of the nation and are heavily populated by young people and, of course, the learned ones in the professoriate as well. The Western Journal reporting that the Georgia State-Charlotte football game that was postponed due to positive coronavirus tests could have been played, officials admitted. The positive COVID test that caused Georgia State to postpone last Saturday's game at Charlotte turned out to be the result of errors in reading the test results, according to a Georgia State news release. GSU student athletes and staff tested three times. Results from the third round became available just before the team's scheduled departure. The positive results caused Georgia State to postpone the game out of the abundance of caution. The GSU director said, as part of protocols, we tested the individuals again. We're informed by our lab that the none tested positive. They also retested the swabs and were negative. And it was at that point the lab director informed our medical staff that a human error caused the error in the test results. Also, the Columbus Dispatch, part of the USA Today network, reporting forehead thermometers could be inaccurate. Across area hospitals, grocery stores, dental offices, gyms, these devices known as non-contact infrared thermometers are used as initial defense against potential COVID-19 carriers who have a fever. The thermometer gun measures a person's surface temperature without making contact with the skin. The devices have proved to be ineffective barrier when used outside controlled healthcare spaces, resulting in abnormally high or low readings. Often they are not held at appropriate distance to produce an accurate reading. The reading is affected by the room temperature, according to the FDA. Columbus State Community College student Onidria Jones said that at a required check-in for school, she was clocked at 64.7 degrees. Any temperature that's below 70 or above 104 is considered a life-threatening emergency. She said, I personally think that they're inaccurate. The reading is never consistent. Okay, let's go to Daily Wire. Fox News host Tucker Carlson aired photos this past Monday night that allegedly shows Senator Dianne Feinstein not wearing a mask while at an airport. Well, that's interesting because she had previously sent a letter to the FAA saying, I write to urge you to implement a mandatory mask policy for all airports and airline employees and passengers as cases of coronavirus continue to surge. I ask that you issue a guidance as soon as possible so passengers can have a clear understanding of the requirements and so that we may reduce exposure for workers and travelers alike. Carlson noted that the photo showed a pilot with a mask who was walking in front of her. Carlson added the Feinstein office did not comment on the issue. Also, Mayor Bill de Blasio announced he intends to crack down aggressively on people not wearing a mask in New York City amid the coronavirus pandemic. During the briefing, de Blasio said anyone who is not wearing a face covering will be offered one, will be reminded it is required, and anyone who refuses will be told that if they don't put one on, they will be fined, and anyone who still refuses will be fined, reports LifeSiteNews.com. We'll have a few more stories here after the break. This is Crosstalk on VCY America.
Cemeteries and mausoleums are evidence of the sad reality of death, and that each of us has a divine appointment with death. According to surveys, Americans overwhelmingly believe that heaven exists and believe that most are going there. A small number believes that hell exists, with only 0.5% believing they will go there when they die. What if those who do not believe in hell die one day and find they made a tragic and eternal mistake? In the book, Hell is for Real, author Gary Fraser discusses the separation, the suffering, and the sorrow of hell, along with future events that will unfold. There is much information given by movies, television, psychics, and even by many religious circles. Gary presents scriptural truth on this important topic. VCY is making available the book, Hell is for Real, as our way of saying thank you for your support of $15 or more. Two copies for a donation of $25. Just ask for it when you call 1-800-729-9829.
This is Crosstalk on VCY America. It's a news roundup day here today. Just giving a quick look over a number of stories and issues so many times that are just ignored by other media across this nation, but stories to keep us informed on many critical issues. Christian Post reporting that California has adopted transgender reforms into law, including allowing biological males who identify as female to be placed in women's prisons and to fund using state revenue for gender transition drugs and surgeries. Governor Gavin Newsom this past Saturday signed into legislation a law that requires inmates who identify as transgender, non-binary, or intersex to be housed on the basis of gender identity instead of biological sex. He signed AB 2218 that establishes, another bill, establishes a transgender wellness and equity fund that provides grants to organizations that assist in housing needs and therapeutic programs, as well as facilitate medicalized gender treatments like hormones and surgeries for both minors and adults. LifeSiteNews.com also chimes in saying under the new law, officers seeing a prisoner intake process must ask inmates if they self-identify as transgender, non-binary, or intersex. The Hill reported at which point inmates can request to go to a male or female prison. Request cannot be rejected solely on the basis of an inmate's actual sex, but on whether the state has management or security concerns about the inmate. Now, from California, let's go to the state of Minnesota, where we have many listeners to Crosstalk. The Washington Times reporting that the Minnesota Court of Appeals made a ruling on Monday that schools must allow students to use locker rooms that are consistent with their gender identity, saying a suburban school district violated the rights of a transgender student by keeping him from using the boys' male main locker room. The appeals court found it's unlawful to segregate one from their peers just because they are transgender. WND.com. Sounds like another What in the World program, doesn't it? A national court in France, this story really bears it out. A national court in France has ruled that a man who has fathered a child with his wife 6 years ago cannot now be listed as the child's mother. Grasp your head around this one. Grasp your brain around this one. So a court has ruled in France that a man who fathered a child with his wife 6 years ago cannot now be listed as a child's mother. In the highest court in France, the Court of Cassation in Paris, the judges conclude that Claire, that's the biological father to three children with his wife, isn't a mother. Claire would be a mother only by adopting the child that he fathered. The court ruling said that the two maternal filiations cannot be established with regard to the same child outside of adoption. So now we have the one who actually fathered the child, who wants to be the mother of the child and is seeking to be recognized as the mother. But the court says, no, you can't do that without adopting the child, because the child cannot have two mothers. Where is it going next? Madison, Wisconsin. CNSNews.com. Parents in Madison learned that their children were being taught experimental theories about gender identity, that they were understandably upset. Under a school district policy, children as young as kindergarten age were being exposed to the idea that gender is a spectrum and that you can choose your own gender based on how you feel. The policies require teachers to assist and encourage children of any age in the adoption of transgender identities without parental knowledge or consent, and require teachers to actively deceive parents about their child's struggle with gender identity disorder. Well, a coalition of parents filed a lawsuit against the school district, and thankfully this week, a state court issued an order that prohibits the Madison Metropolitan School District from deceiving parents about the gender identity that their child may have adopted at school. The Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty and ADF attorneys filed a lawsuit on behalf of parents February 18th, asked for a temporary halt on February 19th. On Monday, a state court granted this request in part, barring the school district from deceiving parents about their children's claimed gender identity while the lawsuit continues. Let's head up to Vancouver. A slew of, a slew of controversial billboards and posters have hit the streets of Vancouver, British Columbia, urging passerbys to have just one child or none at all in the name of combating overpopulation and climate change. Must be running out of room in Canada for children. You ever seen the size of that nation? Well, the ads created by environmentalist organization World Population Balance promote the normalization of small or childless families, according to 680 News. Placed at several public bus stops in high-traffic areas in the city, the ads read, quote, "We choose one." Another says, "We choose child-free." Or here's one, "The most loving gift you can give your first child is not to have another." On the organization's website for the ad campaign, it explains that its goal is to educate that overpopulation is a root cause of resource depletion, species extinction, poverty, and climate change. Let's open our phone lines here today. If you'd like to comment on these or other current event stories, maybe try getting in yesterday pertaining to the debate the other night or have some comment on other current event news. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829, 800-733-9829. By the way, coming from World Israel News, Iran's President Hassan Rouhani on Tuesday of this week spent much of a speech to the United Nations General Assembly attacking the United States and attacking the policies that target his country. He spoke almost 18 minutes long. It was filled with praise for his own country's democracy, and we put that in quotes, and what he claimed was a key role in seeking peace, but a lot of his address was spent attacking the United States, reports World Israel News. Rouhani warned that America would eventually have to capitulate to Iranian demands, saying this, quote, "Any U.S. administration after the upcoming elections will have no choice but to surrender to the resilience of the Iranian nation." He said that in his videotaped speech. On Monday, the State Department Twitter feed posted a graphic of Donald Trump with the slogan, "As long as I'm president of the United States, Iran will never be allowed to have a nuclear weapon." Democratic president candidate Joe Biden has previously said that he would work to bring the U.S. back into the Iran nuclear deal. Your thoughts today during our news roundup. Our phone number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. Paul is calling in from Glendale, Arizona. Paul, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. First, Jim, I'd like to thank you guys for being our first line of defense there and providing truth for the listeners that are here. I did want to make a comment about the BLM.
Mm-hmm.
What if we put that and made baby lives matter? I think you mentioned the other day there was like 31 million abortions this year in the United States.
Actually, since Roe v. Wade, it's about 62 million abortions taken place.
So, I just wanted to comment on that. And, I think all of our lives matter. We all have the same creator, so we all have the same blood running through our veins. But again, thank you for getting the word out, being the first line of defense for us, and God bless you and all the crew and staff there at BCY America and your show as well.
Great. Thank you, Paul, for that. And I don't recall off the top of my head which city it was, but one city they actually painted that in the street in front of an abortion center, Baby Lives Matter.
And there we go.
Maybe that needs to be done more often.
Amen to that. And God bless you.
Thanks for the call. We've got Becky next in New Berlin, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hi, Jim. Boy, with all this craziness going on, we sure have to keep our faith in our Lord, don't
yes,
we? And
absolutely.
Know that He's in control.
Absolutely.
So my comment is on the Vancouver billboards, and I'm just wondering, do you think that all ties into, you know, the Muslims wanting to take over our country and other countries, because aren't they having very large families and then encouraging the rest of us to have very small families?
It is no secret that Muslim families are having a multiplicity of children, and the large families is something that has been promoted in Muslim teaching. And that is something that we have seen the likes of Usama Dakdak that has warned about when they reach the upper house in Sharam Haiti, and when they reach about between 5 to 6% of the population is enough for really a takeover to take place.
Interesting. Yeah, that's just what struck me. They say it's about the environment, but yeah. I really think there's something else going on.
Well, I think there's multiple things going on because the wacky environmental movement has actually for some time tried to sound the alarm about overpopulation. Jacques Cousteau, I mean, from decades ago, talked about the need to, you know, save Mother Earth and protect the planet by reducing significantly our population. And some very horrible quotes coming from him at that time.
I believe it. Well, thank you. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you for the call.
You bet.
Let's go next to Jeff in Appleton, Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Thanks, Jim. Yeah, I was in the People's Republic of Madison for 29 years, and it's interesting that when you teach gender confusion to preschoolers and then all the way through college, and you teach environmentalism, and you turn young people and, you know, millennials, their brains actually become, I think, mush. They're brainwashed. And so two children would just replace two parents. I mean, what are they talking about? And then it's hard to reason with someone whose brain is not functioning at all properly. And so really my response is to share the gospel, show yeah. them their need, that they've broken every one of the Ten Commandments, that they're in trouble with a perfectly holy God, but he has remedied that through Jesus. And then just the attack. What you're saying is it's an attack on the family. Satan continually attacks the family, and this is just an example of that. And I really appreciate your show.
Thank you, Jeff. You know, and as you point out, children's minds are very impressionable, and they're told to respect their teachers. So, you know, a five-year-old and six-year-old go into the classroom, and all of a sudden their teacher is saying that you can be a boy or a girl. It doesn't matter what your body looks like. You can identify as either one. And it causes great confusion with children. And some children, I've read stories here before, just have come home crying, saying, you know, am I going to become, you know, and if it's a boy, am I going to become a girl? Or a girl saying, I'm going to become a boy. I want to be what I am. And others saying, well, I want to be just like my teacher who has expressed their transgenderism before. And these are young minds that are being fashioned and molded by teachers, and they're leading down toward the pathway of immoral teaching. That's my opinion.
Yes, Jim, I just wanted to add just for less than a minute. That is so poignant. When I was the runt of a litter of 11 kids, and I was always picked on, always beat up. I liked girls because they didn't beat me up and stuff. And I wanted to be a girl because they were nice, they were kind. But God made me a man.
Yeah.
And the beauty is if what would have the wickedness is if what would have happened if I would have grown up in this environment? And they should have said, Jeff, God made a mistake. You can be a girl. I could have easily been hoodwinked into that. So praise God. But we have. But here's the other thing is. If the parents aren't engaged in the children's life, I didn't get saved until I was 40, Jim, and I even knew if I ever had children, I would never turn them over to the government schools. Now, I'm not jamming any parents, but be very, very aware of what they're teaching your children. You're responsible for the education and the upbringing and the spiritual welfare of your children.
Thank you, Jeff, for your call here today. Appreciate it so much for calling Crosstalk. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back to more of your phone calls here. It's a News Roundup Day today on Crosstalk. Back in 1 minute on the VCY America Network.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. See the story recently where a Washington-based attorney wrote a column for the Huffington Post talking about how the death of Ruth Bader Ginsburg and her fear over the issue of reproductive rights led her to join the Satanic Temple. Now, don't confuse the Satanic Temple with the Church of Satan. They want you to believe there's not a lot of similarities. But ironically, the Satanic Temple uses a lot of occultic satanic symbolism. But they also declare that they reject tyrannical authority. What authority would that be, my friends? The authority of absolute truth. And they're very hostile to Christians, particularly those that evangelize with a biblical gospel. This is simply, again, proof that the Democrat Marxist Party and many of the Satanists are indeed carrying out a spiritual battle, a war.
Listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network, and it's a news roundup day here today. Again, we encourage you tomorrow as we plan to air a special address that was given recently by Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, a panoramic prophetic perspective. Dalton Windsor will be hosting that, is editing, getting that together for tomorrow's Crosstalk, and trust you'll be able to listen. Our number today to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 800-733-9829. Raymond is next, calling from Milwaukee. You're on the air.
Thank you so much for the opportunity to be a part of your radio show today. I was calling in regards to the previous comment made by a listener about Black Lives Matter. The reality that the reason why Black Lives Matter has to be an issue is because it's not of importance here in America. America is only concerned with what it can take from the African-American culture and not about protecting the lives of Black people in this country. What's really rather sad is that there are individuals who would call themselves Christians who will not even acknowledge that. We'd rather criminalize individuals like a George Floyd to talk about his record and the things that he has done, but not to publicly declare that the way someone's life is taken from them in such a manner shows that their lives do not matter. And however, we can see with even in Kenosha with Mr. Rittenhouse, shooting two people and multiple people who are out there as witnesses that are predominantly African-American, their word is of little of no value that the law enforcement officers let this young man walk right past them.
Well, Raymond, the jury is still out on that as the investigation is going on with Rittenhouse, and there has been a lot of documentation coming forth pertaining to that. So we don't have all the facts that have been public on that as of yet. But would you agree, Raymond, that you would say that all Black Lives Matter?
That all Black Lives Matter? Yes, I do agree that all Black Lives Matter. Mm-hmm.
And that would,
that would also
include the black babies in the womb that are killed by abortion?
Can I just, you can in a moment, but
would include all the black babies killed by abortion?
Yeah, absolutely. But here's the thing is that you can't just be so concerned about people who are in the womb and not be concerned about the individuals who are here walking around.
Agreed.
And we see recently with Breonna Taylor, with her life being taken, an officer can get charged with shooting stray bullets into another apartment, but no one's charged with taking her life. I mean, you enter into her apartment with a no-knock warrant and go.
Raymond, you're making assumptions based on what you've heard in the media. Have you read the report from the Attorney General's office, who is African American?
Yeah, that's the other problem. You got a person who's an Uncle Tom out here.
Okay, thank you. I know this perspective you're coming from, and so you're saying only certain black voices that we need to hear, and I disagree with that, Raymond, that you're going to discount even then the African-American Attorney General, who has released the report on this, and now the transcripts are going forth from the grand jury as well. So we are quick to speak without having all the facts, and that's critical for us as well. Don't you agree?
What was shown to the grand jury, that's the problem.
Yeah.
Because now there's questions even around the attorney general's his honesty in regards to what was actually...
I understand that, because, Raymond, you called him an Uncle Tom, so I know you're questioning his integrity in that regard. But thank you. We got your comments. We gave you more time than any other caller here today. And we thank you for calling Crosstalk. Jan is calling next from Wisconsin. You're on the air.
Hi. Is it my call? I want three things I want to say. First of all, we did pick up in Wisconsin, we picked up our ballots at the city hall, and I asked, when can we vote? They said immediately. So anyone in Wisconsin, go and get your voting done for the person of your choice as quickly as you can. You don't have to fear getting a brick on your head during election night over there. So do it now. Also, yesterday on Crosstalk, one of your callers in mentioned that Joe Biden had an earbud in his ear. He was apparently being coached while he spoke. I want to say that four times, in 1 week's time, more black babies are murdered in this country by abortion than 150 years of the Ku Klux Klan managed to kill blacks and whites.
Yeah.
So, Raymond, you're way off. Get on to the Crosstalk more often, and you'll learn the truth.
Thank you, Jen, for your call. And there was a caller that stated that. I don't believe that there's been any hard evidence that I have seen in regard to Mr. Biden in that regard. But we do know that his campaign did refuse to be examined, have the candidates examined for an earbud. Thank you. West Dallas, Al, you're on the air.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about, Floyd and Blake and these other, they're hoodlums. You look at what they're doing. They got sexual assault charges. Floyd was on fentanyl. He died because of that. They're not Martin Luther King. These people are hoodlums. The police have to, provide safety for all of us. These are not like the media portrays them. They won't say a word about their wickedness, but okay. Oh, how wicked the whites are. What about the reverse? How the blacks, how
okay.
The whites...
Okay, oh, got your point, Al, and thank you for sharing your thoughts on that issue. We're going to pick up one final call. That's Tony in Kenosha. You're on the air.
Well, thank you.
Go ahead, Tony. You're on the air.
Hi, Jim. Thank you so much for taking my call. Hi. This is very close to my heart, and I'm about to cry, but on the gender identity with the children coming up, I don't know if you realize or know, the vaccine industry uses fetal tissue to create the vaccines. And in my mind, in my concern as just a normal person, but I'm a critical thinking person, that them culturing the vaccines in fetal tissue is going to cause some trouble later on when they inject that into either a girl or boy, because they did not know if it was a girl or boy fetal tissue that they started with that vaccine.
It's troubling. I'm out of time here, and so I appreciate your call, but... I know that it's very troubling to know that there are vaccines, not all vaccines, but a number of them that do use fetal tissue as far as their development, and very troubling indeed. Well, friends, thank you for listening in to Crosstalk today. Again, we're a nation in need of prayer, a nation that certainly is in need of the Lord. Let's let our light shine for Him. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208. Or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.